We have come to the end of our study of the letters to Timothy. And as I said to the kids, we find there further reflections on the end. For many, encroaching age increases such end-of-life reflections. What will others say about the content of my life? How much longer do I still have to make the most of my living? What comes next? The particular suffering that Paul experienced in his countercultural gospel work must heighten those reflections. Every arrest comes with an uncertain future. Every attack saps another dose of strength. "I am already being poured out like a drink offering," he writes, "and the time has come for my departure." But he sees that olive wreath crown in his mind's eye, the kind that usually only goes to one winner in a competition, but this, he writes, will be awarded to all who have longed for the Lord's appearing. In this moment, as Paul looks back and forward, he doesn't give a theological treatise to sign on to or another list of do's and don'ts like we have read in these letters. The crown will be awarded to all who have longed for Christ's appearing. Our longings shape the content of our lives from when we're very young, longing for meaning and purpose in the world, longing to give something that only we can give, longing to belong, to love and be loved, to leave a legacy, longing to understand what it's all about. Longing for the appearing of the Lord, Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, does not only draw us to remember our dying, but to consider our living. Longing to see, to meet, to touch the risen Christ is a longing for the powers of life to have victory over death. Our longing shapes our living, trusting in that resurrection life. I want to read you most of a reflection written by Caitlin B. Curtis, a Native American Christian author. I think she draws us into a longing for the appearing of Christ. I first encountered someone in close relationship with cancer on a mission trip with the Forest Park Baptist Church youth group one summer when we were hosting VBS in a little church near a village dump in Mexico. Gadi was barely 9 years old, and his father was the pastor. He'd just been diagnosed with leukemia. The summer before, he and I had played in the one-room church overlooking a dirt field where the kids kicked a soccer ball every day. Gadi was our little brother. This boy, so full of life and mischief, so kind and honoring to his mother and father. We worked in that same town over the next few summers, but as Gadi got worse, we weren't able to continue work at their small church. Still, we would visit him while we were there. When I was in high school, my sister-in-law was diagnosed with cancer, and everything about it mirrored Gadi for me. Every prayer bouncing back and forth between the two of them, their stories and names engraved right next to each other in my heart. When I wrote Melanie in my prayers, Gadi came next, a constant cycle of pleading and tears. The year that Melanie passed away, we visited Gadi's family again on a summer trip in Mexico. He was too weak to walk. His body was failing him. His father was at the church next door praying to God to lean in and teach him something in all of this sorrow. When we got back to the church across town where we were working, I leaned against the door of the kitchen and cried harder than I'd cried in a long time. It was a deep ache and grief, intensified and made real for me through the lens of my own family's heartache in losing Melanie. 2 years later, Gadi passed away. Lawrence, the man who led our trips in Mexico, emailed me the news the year that I was a freshman in college. At the end of the email, he wrote, "He will know you when he sees you in heaven." With everything in me, I ached for it to be true. Death takes something from us and gives something to us. It adds to the tension of our lives. This kingdom come but yet coming that we endure while we still breathe. Gaudi and Melanie, new life and death, and I watched it in their eyes, had word of it from afar. It is true that I prayed for healing for them both, that I prayed for restoration of Gaudi's tiny body and for his heart and soul. It is true that I prayed for his wholeness, for his family to find peace. But I also prayed that God would teach me something in the suffering, that I would learn to walk closer to the line between life and death, that I would see the face of death differently, that I would let something holy come from the pain that cancer brings, from all the pain surrounding human suffering. I don't understand how that works, but Melanie and Gaudi are both engraved deep into my being, their names still spoken every now and then in a prayer, their souls still whispering into the air what it means to live and die and live again, what it means to give up something of earth, to find something unearthly, something holier than what I will ever know here in this skin. And I pray with everything that I am that when I see them in that new form, their arms will spread wide and they will know me, see me, greet me with a holy kiss and an embrace, and that we will gather together and say, "We lived, didn't we? We lived and died, and it was all called good in the end. We lived and died and lived again. God's grace abounding. Hallelujah." I close with a prayer from Caitlin as well. Let's pray. O God of grace, we've been told of heaven our whole lives, told of this sacred place, all whitewashed and clean, all choir robes and tables full of plump grapes and ham and maybe a little wine, but probably just grape juice. We've been told that there we won't hurt anymore. We've been told that our bodies look different and new, that our scars disappear once we pass through that pearly gate. I hope for it, but I also hope that we look just like we do here, that we see some of our scars so that we can remember who we were and who we are and who we will be. I hope there's more than just white, that we wear the colors of the rainbow and colors that we didn't even know existed, that we get to experience life in every sense of fullness that we never knew we could. I hope that heaven gives us all of you, your presence so near to us that we can smell you and hug you and know that you are so near. And I pray that when we see each other, those people we've spent our lives with, that we can touch each other's scars and look in each other's eyes and know that you've wanted us all along, the broken and unbroken parts, clean and unclean, wrecked and restored, before and after, with and without grace. You wanted us before we knew you, and I pray that heaven will show us that you want us forevermore. Amen.